Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
Therese Fahey's in front of me this morning. Miss Fahey, good morning to you.
Good morning, Martin.
How are you today?
I'm very good. Very
now,
good.
I have to say, firstly, you sold out your gig, so that's the first thing.
I know, so I feel a bit silly
So the whole point of the conversation is now gone. No, I'm only joking. You are playing, just so people know what they can't get tickets for, on Sunday.
Sunday
at the Hugh Lane Gallery.
Yeah.
But you are... Where are you based? I'm trying to figure out. You are a foremost pianist. You are renowned across the world. You give lessons. You teach. You do recitals. You do all. But where is your base? Is it here?
Yes, I'm here. And Royal Irish Academy of Music.
Right.
I'm teaching there on the Bachelor's, Master's and Doctorate programme.
Right.
You know, people who really want to go into profession and
sure.
take it seriously.
But what I find fascinating is, in your case, you've travelled the world with this.
Yes, yes.
So in other words, you would have like a season or a period of time you would be in the Royal Academy, and then you disappear off. Is that the way it works?
No, I mean, the Academy are very good. There's the flexibility. We schedule our own teaching.
Sure.
So, you know, if I get concerts, go and I make up the lessons. So
that sounds great.
Fine. It works really well. And, you know, some of the older students, who some of them are in their 40s doing their doctorate, they
yes.
need lessons every week.
You I know, understand.
They're working on big programmes. And,
okay.
you know, it works really well. It's very flexible. It's
that
great.
Is fantastic.
Yeah.
We had the great Conor Lennon.
He was my student, actually.
He was. Are you serious?
Yes.
Good Lord.
He was my first big success.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, because I was 24 and he was 15. Now, we're not giving our ages away here,
Marty. No. No cameras here. No one can see us.
No. We're not going to call
it. Isn't that funny?
Yes. Yeah.
He was playing with us with the RTE Concert Orchestra. He played Michal Ossulouan's Must Be More Crispy.
That's right.
And that's not an easy piece to play.
It's very fingery. Very fingery.
It was brilliant. He was great.
He's brilliant.
He's a lovely personality, though.
Yeah,
He's a lovely guy.
Absolutely lovely.
That's a funny coincidence. So again, he was there, and he does, like you, he's out there, he's teaching and all the rest of it. So there's that flexibility.
Yes.
In terms of concerts, are you still travelling?
Yes, I mean, when something attracts me, I'll go.
Yes.
I was in America there before Christmas in Florida, just the week after the elections.
Right.
We won't comment on that.
How's your phone going?
It was the week after the elections. Moving swiftly on,
indeed.
As they say.
Yeah.
But I played the 24 Debussy preludes there. First half book one, second half book two.
But you and Debussy, it's like a love affair.
It is, absolutely.
Isn't it? You love the music of Debussy.
I love French music. I actually...
Why French? Why French?
Well, when I was 22, I won a French government scholarship to go and study piano in Paris.
That would do it.
And my teacher and I, we didn't get on at all.
Oh, really?
She had me doing exercice de musculation on a table, basically workouts for the fingers, and wouldn't let me near the piano. And I just found it very frustrating. And I was going on to America the following year, so I was fine. But so I ended up in the galleries, in all the galleries, in the art galleries.
Did you?
And that's where I found my love of French culture. It was through the visual arts. At the time, it was the Jeu de Paume Museum that had the Impressionist collection, and then the Louvre as well. And by the end of the year, I was able to do guided tours myself with people coming over from Ireland sleeping on my floor, you know, because I knew where to go and everything.
If it's not improper to say it, how did you get away from the dragon?
Well, I didn't. I just kept musculating, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I just did what I was told. I did, I did. No,
that's
I just continued
awful.
On. And then, I know. But it just didn't work. I mean, sometimes...
No, but you could have destroyed your love of what you
Yeah, it was
came
difficult.
To learn.
It was difficult. But I had already got a scholarship to go to Joseph Cash down in America the following year.
Okay.
And that was amazing. And the funny thing was, it was in St. Louis. And you would think St. Louis versus Paris, no contest. But... In fact, that was where things really took off.
Really?
You know,
isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Because, but in France, you have, you're a scholar, you're a French scholar, you also have...
French government scholar, yeah.
Yeah, you're a French government scholar. So, so how did that circle close itself then?
I then was awarded Chevalier des Arts et des Lettres. in 2019 by the French government.
Yeah.
And it was presented to me by the French because of the Tombeau de Debussy.
Yes.
Which was a commissioned-based project, and I commissioned Irish composers to write pieces in that you know were influenced by Debussy, and we made a project.
For Lyric?
No, it was for the National Concert Hall, and then it was in Centre Culturel. But actually, Lyric did record. There was a concert in the Debussy house, in the house that he was born in.
Yes,
there was
you
a concert,
played them.
And Lyric recorded that. I think it was Radio France took that and did the work for Lyric over there.
And you played?
I played solo concert, yeah.
In his house?
Yeah, in his house.
How did that
born.
Feel?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was a tiny room, like it's about less than 100 people, and everybody squeezed in. But Irish ambassador, you know, and all her people. She was expecting a big room, but it wasn't big.
But for you, that must have been very exciting.
Oh my God, it was unbelievable. It was magical. He was born actually in a place called Saint-Germain-en-Laye outside Paris, and his parents had a kind of a huckster's shop, you know, bric-a-brac. And he left there when he was two, but you know, the museum is there and all his bits and pieces.
You make it sound like he left at the age of two alone.
Yes,
with a little
child prodigy,
a stick and a towel on his back, and off he went at 2 years of age.
Yes,
but the idea of being in that presence.
I don't sing opera,
obviously, but when we have had the great joy of visiting Puccini's house.
Oh, yes. In Lucca.
Yeah. But that's where he was born, yeah.
Yes.
Torre del Lago is where he lived.
Oh, yes.
And you're there, and you're kind of going, oh, I'm sweet.
I know.
And it just feels incredibly special, but yes. This is where he composed, where he sat, where he went out hunting, and whatever devilment he got up to.
I know.
So when you're in the room, in the presence of,
I know.
Same happened when we went to visit Pavarotti's house in Modena, and you're just
gorgeous.
There. You just feel their presence. It's probably silliness, but
no, it's not silliness.
You do feel it.
There's something very special about being in a place, and in a place that where things were created as well.
Well, this person's music has given you.
My life, really.
You're impetusing your career and giving that. Will we play a little bit? We better play a bit of Debussy, seeing as we have you in front of us.
Okay.
Now, this is, he wrote this much later than when he was two. Anyway, this is you. This is you. And Debussy, this is you. And Debussy, there's a pair of you in it.
Thank you.
Trace Farrar, you're awfully good on the piano.
Oh, thank you.
If I may say so.
I have to practice a lot.
That's called a Debussy, and that's called...
That's Reflections in the Water.
It's just beautiful. It's truly beautiful.
Thank you.
Now, you have other things. We better make the point. OK, Sunday, June 29th, 12 o'clock, Hugh Lane Gallery, which is fine. But the following day, you are doing masterclasses.
Yes, I have been doing annual masterclasses in the National Concert Hall. I think it's about 5 years now.
Right.
5 or 6 years I've had my masterclasses.
But I was told it was open to the public.
It is, yeah.
OK.
Anyone can come and listen.
Right.
It's like a piano lesson that's public, a public piano lesson. And there are young people and older students who come and play for me. Mostly not my own students.
Okay.
And they come and they play through something and then we work together for about an hour. And
people can just come and listen
because actually I'd love piano teachers around the country to be coming and listening because you learn so much, you know.
And would you be a very easy teacher insofar as would you be gentle? You wouldn't be roaring at them down in front
of
them.
I don't roar, but actually
you know what I mean.
In a masterclass I'm on my best behaviour because I'm an audience.
This is my point. get behind closed doors, you're finished.
Oh, I'm desperate.
But it is, you can't. think of that woman back in Paris back in the day.
I know.
You don't want to put people off.
Yes.
Very important, isn't it, to have that one-to-one with somebody.
Absolutely,
And give and take, I suspect, is probably very important as well. That if somebody isn't fabulous, but they're trying really hard, it's encouragement, isn't it?
To work with the person, I think it's a very psychological job.
Mm.
And you have to try and understand how people think, how they feel. And you're trying to work with what they see from the music rather than always be dictatorial about how you want to play a piece of music. Because I think that, I suppose my feeling, my philosophy of teaching is that individuality is so special. Mm. Rather than, there's a lot of people who listen to YouTube and watch YouTube and copy off it. But you're never going to be
you.
Different and you're never going to be you, exactly.
No.
You know,
I suppose, but it takes, with respect, it does take a teacher like you to be able to see that and to let that blossom in front of you, because it's very easy to say, no, that's not right.
But and sometimes you have to do that too, you know.
Yeah, I know, but that might stifle as well.
Yes, you have to do it. I find slagging is very helpful.
Well, that's very good. You can explain that to me.
Once you can have a bit of banter, you can get away with murder.
The banter
is
brilliant.
Yes.
You're so right. Because then it's kind of, it's good-natured.
Absolutely.
As opposed to being kind of a nasty. So this is, now hang on a second, this is on the 30th, but it's also...
Three days, actually. It's until Wednesday lunchtime, so it's all day Monday, all day Tuesday. It's up in the Kevin Barry room.
All right.
And it's very, I don't know how much it is in, it's a fiver in for the day or something to listen.
That's
so
nice.
Maybe it's a bit more than that, I don't know exactly.
And you would spend whatever you would, time-wise, you would with each person?
An hour with each person, and we go through, you know, they play first, they will play something completely first.
Sure.
And then we'll start at the beginning of it and we'll talk through it. And,
right.
You know, maybe the pedaling isn't great, maybe it's not clear, maybe they're going too fast, maybe they're fumbling passages that I can show them what to do with, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, anybody who would come to that, for example, particularly because it's open, would obviously be the sort of person who would take whatever was said to them.
Oh, yeah.
Because you'd have to be so inclined, otherwise.
I know. I remember doing masterclass myself, you know, and I always found it's probably a difficult thing to do because it's neither a performance nor a lesson.
Well, that's
the point.
Yeah, that is
and
the
point.
And
it's a kind of a hybrid thing, and it's difficult, you know, it's a difficult situation to be in.
But you see, you're uncomfortable. And yet, you're delighted that you're getting this opportunity.
Absolutely.
So it's about, do people pay for this to come? I don't mean to get in, they do. But for the masterclass?
They do, yeah. They pay the concert hall.
Pay the concert hall. Mm. Now, the other thing that you're doing is the Wall City in Derry.
Yes, there is another week of masterclasses. It's a residential course and it's international masterclasses. So that I'm the... I think he calls me the pianist, Irish pianist in residence or something like that. And it's Cathal Breslin who runs it. He's an Irish pianist from Derry.
Yeah.
And he's based in America. And all the other faculty are actually American and I think Asian. And then they bring their students from various countries and I have a few coming up as well, and they are advanced, they're third level students.
And do you still, because I'm sure you must, do you still get excited when somebody comes to you and they're really good?
Oh, God, yeah.
Does it still excite you when you
go, my God, yeah.
You can just see the talent in someone.
And then you want to work with them.
It's
electric.
Yeah, I bet
absolutely
it is.
Absolutely electric. Yeah.
It must be.
Yes.
Because it's because of your passion.
Yeah. I have a young girl who's just come to me from Malaysia to do a master's degree, Kwan Yi Lim, and she actually... She came because she wanted to study French music. She wanted to specialise in French
music. Oh, well, there
you go. And she won, she's just won an international prize. And she got loads of engagements. She's playing, I think this week in Bologna. 2 weeks ago, she was playing in the Liszt Academy in Budapest.
Isn't it fantastic?
And she's playing in Granada in September. You know, so she's got won this prize. But she's fabulous. And, And she was crying at her last... She's 21, I think.
21.
Yeah.
We came across a girl called Eileen Sun.
I know her, yes.
And she's won... Two competitions, as far as I know, probably more. We got her in here. We have her on, you can look it on YouTube or whatever, on the Lyric webpage. She is phenomenal.
I know.
She's only doing a leaving cert this summer.
But you see, you have to be good young at this because
it's
physical.
Yeah.
People forget that. They think, you know, it's because it's your hands and your body that are, you know, the tools of your artistic ideas.
Sure.
If you go at it too late or if you're not good when you're young... It's actually very difficult to make it.
So that's the mistake I made.
That is the mistake you might
Thank
have
you
made.
For pointing it out.
But I can have, maybe come to me for a lesson sometime,
it's a
Marty.
It's late now. It's certainly a bit late now. You need a drummer. So listen to me. The other thing is, sorry, just before we finish, you're going back to Debussy's.
Yes, in November.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's the one of the big moments for you. And talking to you, I can see it in your face. It's a big deal.
Yeah, no, it really means a lot.
Yeah,
as long as they'll have me, I'll keep going.
Well, clearly.
I've made friends with them now as well.
Good for you. And also, you know the house, you know where the bathroom is.
I know.
And also the fact is that they're bringing you back.
Yes.
And the fact that you were the one who played on, you were saying, the 100th anniversary.
The 100th anniversary of his death.
That's,
which would have been 25th of March 2018.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually, I did a solo concert there, which was just the first time I played there. And it was just,
Rest my case.
Yes, yeah.
Keep well. And enjoy the weekend.
Thank you so much.
And it's lovely to have you in, even though we didn't have to promote you at all. You promoted yourself. It's this Sunday, yes, but it's also from Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday with the masterclasses at the NCH. NCH.ie, if anybody wants to find out all the details. Therese, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Marty.
We had you playing a little bit of Chopin to take us home. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
Not at all.